We come to the feast and we are told we will celebrate God's feast in the place that he shall choose, and we are commanded to rejoice before him. To cheer up, be glad, to be merry, brighten up. When we are with friends of like mind and much more than usual money to spend, this should not be too difficult to comply. For the few moments this morning, I want to consider the reasons we have for continuing to rejoice. And Mr. Meissner yesterday, that amazing sermon, God loves us. What more do we need to rejoice than that? But hopefully I can go over a few other things. Let's have a look for my second point. We are told to obey the holy days, Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 12, Deuteronomy 14. So let's consider now another point, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 31. This is something when things are going wrong, turn to this, it has got to help. We do know that all things work together for good to them that love God. God loved us first. We love him. To them who are called according to his purpose. Not everybody's called according to their purpose. Not yet. But for those who love God and accord according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also plans to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's amazing. When we are going through problems, we have to remember there will be a positive end result. We can't always see when we're in the midst of the problem. The third point I want us to remember, God's purpose for us has been revealed thanks to, in a huge extent, to the obedience of Mr. Armstrong, particularly going back to 1927, when he realized that not only are we commanded to keep the weekly Sabbath, it included the observance of God's holy days. He didn't know why at the time, as was mentioned earlier in the feast. But he obeyed with his wife for a number of years. The small congregation continued to obey with him as he had taught and trained them. Until 1945, when suddenly, after these years of obedience, God opened his understanding. The very purpose and reason of our calling. The very reason why we are created. Why are you here? The ultimate answer. My wife and I discovered in the early 1970s that we had to obey God before we were granted understanding. And of course, we had access to all the material written by Mr. Armstrong and those he had trained. We were spoon-fed. I didn't spend day after day in a library going through concordances, Bible helps, reading tracts from all these other groups, weeding out what was the truth, reading out what was the rubbish. It was put to me on a plate, and I still struggled to understand until I obeyed. And then when I obeyed, bang, I did another problem. And I'd have to study, consider, boy, I've got to do this as well. As my wife said, how are we going to manage? We can't eat pork. You meet the pork butcher once a month and get food that's past its sell-by date. How are we going to cope? We cooked very well, thank you. Much better than if we carried on eating pork. Let's look at Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 12. One of my favourite scriptures, this. Going back to food again, you see. Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 12. This was on the day of trumpets. They'd been preaching to the people all morning. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink. and to send portions and to make great mirth. They were rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. We have been given an understanding. We have a reason for living. It's not just to get as much as you can in just this few short years and then nothing. I went to a funeral of a classmate this year, a humanist funeral, nothing religious. We were there to rejoice at inner life, dress cheerfully. Oh, miserable. They had nothing to look forward to. Yes, she'd had a pretty good life. It was very fulfilling. But as far as they were concerned, that was it. We look back over what she'd enjoyed, and she, in her understanding, nothing. Nothing. Complete emptiness and vanity, as we heard earlier on. Continuing that thought, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23. Thus says the Eternal, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Eternal, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Eternal. We remind ourselves, and we need to, in 1 Corinthians, where we came from. But these great people don't have the understanding we have. Now, that's not to inflate any of us. We are still nothing. We're still much the dirt, the vapor. To quote Mr. Armstrong, how wonderful it is to know these things of God. The general population does not know. God has revealed these things to us through his prophets and apostles. Not a committee of ministers, as some senior church leader constantly says. Let's look at Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah 55. This is another encouragement. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you with into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Carrying on. What God is doing will not be in vain. It's not just for a few short years and then, oh, whoopsie, let's celebrate what we've had. It gets bigger and better. We're just coming in at the ground floor. Jesus Christ had made it possible to have direct access to God in prayer. We have been begotten as children of God. We're being prepared to be born again to eternal life, to become part of the spiritual bride of Christ. Now, knowing the purpose of God doesn't mean we can grasp all of it. It's amazing. We do not pray, for example, to the Virgin Mary, a lady who will be appalled when she is resurrected to find that people have used her name to pray to. She's been dead asleep for nearly 2,000 years. My name is Christopher. Before I knew better, little medallions with a big guy with a staff wading across a river with a little child on his shoulder. I thought that was pretty neat. We don't pray to him. He may not even have existed. It's an interesting story. He certainly did not bear the sins of the world. Jesus Christ bore them for us. We have so much to be cheerful about in the twilight of this present world. In the twilight, the gloom, the misery that is about to befall the world. We're going to need to look at this to remember while people are suffering around us. We will go through some difficult times. at the crisis of the close, we are going to have to remember the ultimate reason for all these things. There is something better to look forward to. Do not become discouraged. We have reason to continue to rejoice. These wonderful promises. These are just a few days or a foretaste of the great days to come. Let's have a look at one last scripture. Hebrews 10, 16 to 23. If I've copied it correctly, this should read, "This is a covenant I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." We have been forgiven our pasts. And as we make mistakes and we repent, they're forgiven again. The unpardonable sin is the one we don't repent of. That's it. Mr. Armstrong made it so simple. "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering of sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness," verse 19, boldness, liberty, or confidence, "to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised." We have direct access to the Creator God, the supreme being of the universe. The physical analogy was one man once a year for a few moments entered into the holiest of holies. We have access to the throne of grace by prayer. We don't talk to any lesser person than Jesus Christ and God the Father. We talk to the boss. Reasons to be cheerful. Thank you.